still here for a reason. We're still here for a reason.
Right now, we just yield, Lord God, to your spirit. We yield to your life, Father. We leave every care, every concern, Father, at your feet right now. And Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that you would just have your full way in every area of life and all that's going on in and around us, Father God. We ask your kingdom come, your will be done, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Father, right now, Lord God, we are just grateful, Lord, for, again, for just a place that we can meet. Lord, we bind every demonic spirit, every hindering spirit, every assignment of the devil, and we cast it out in Jesus' name. And Lord, right now I acknowledge openly again just that it's your spirit in me that's good, Father, and to your spirit I yield. And we just go on in Jesus' name, Lord God. Amen. Amen. Okay. What? To a new room? That's a thought. What do you think? And then we get drum lessons and piano lessons and everything else. Okay. Let's that was
it doesn't bother me.
Yeah. Okay, John chapter 3. I think the clapping was bothering me some last week. That was a lot. Okay, John chapter 3. Because they started doing a... Okay. And we'll start with verse 5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, we testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth the truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God." Okay. Now I guess we started on this one a little bit last week, but loose title for this series, we're calling it Dimensions of Spirit. And the reason that, you know, we started actually with this one again is, see, I recently started getting, you know, even mails from people that are listening to, you know, this online and stuff. And sometimes two people are like, you know, gosh, I've 20 years I've been, you know, going to some church or something like that. And they're like, you know, why is it that, you know, they're like, I should be teaching you, but I have nothing, you know, and they're like, you know, and I'm listening and then you're like this young, wet behind the ears, but you know, you're getting something from God. And, you know, and it's like this, and there's a realization that I started having too about just how so many people, again, have been put in positions where they have a very surface reality, a very surface relationship with God. And, it, you know, they love God, they really do. But they've been kept in a place where, And it's a legitimate transition point, but it's like a place where they should have been transitioning through and moving through. They just kind of got stuck there. And their life, their faith, their walk with God was based on something that, you know, they didn't really move on with Him. You know, when there was an intention that they would. You know, Jesus was consistently progressing, consistently moving forward.
Okay.
No. Arela, Enniko. And then, come up. Okay, so. So Jesus was consistently progressing. He was consistently taking people. He was consistently challenging their thoughts, their ways that they believed that life should be. Their conceptions of what they thought he should be. You know, so he had a way of making things very difficult for people. Now, when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, now keep in mind that Nicodemus was, as Jesus termed, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? So Nicodemus was, you know, one of the premier instructors, teachers of the Jewish nation at the time. And Nicodemus, in his situation, was, you know, here is this guy who he knew was from God, but everything that he was doing was also ruffling the feathers of everybody else, and it wasn't working with convention, it wasn't working with their mutual, shared, agreed upon religious understanding of what God is, how God should work, how things should be, all of that wasn't working. So Nicodemus now comes to Jesus at night because he's afraid of the consequences that would happen if he came to him in the day and everybody saw him sitting down and talking to Jesus. So he came to him, but Nicodemus really wanted to know. See, that's the thing. See, Nicodemus in himself, he had this struggle and this dilemma, which was, okay, I want to know. I really do want truth, but also he's in a certain level of affiliation, bondage, if you would, that, you know, can I let go of all that I've known for this new thing that is God, but I can't get my hand or I can't get my mind around it. So, and even when Jesus starts taking him through just the basics, the foundations, which is, you know, unless a man is born again, you know, I mean, he said, you know, verily, verily, in verse 5, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, the religion of the day at that time was, again, surface reality, obey the law, here's your list of do's and don'ts. And they'd even taken the law of God and they had made it man ritual. So they had deviated from even the instructions of God and formed a religious practice around it that was, you know, like about the ceremonial washing of this and that. And if you give your gift to, you know, the temple, that you don't have to take care of your family and all those kind of things. They'd made it something that was convenient for the perpetuation of the religion, and they had gotten away from what it was that God was doing. And but no one could fulfill the law. You know, no person alive could fulfill the law. But only Jesus could, and only Jesus did. But in that practice, it was very external.
But that law, sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead. Yeah.
But that law wasn't just like a random thought. That law
was
itself
given by
was
God.
Given. Yeah. Why was it given in the first place? Like you said, certain things, like, you know, if you did sing like this, you have to sacrifice a goat and a dove, and they have a very specific thing as to what should be sacrificed for what sin you have committed.
Mm-hmm. Well, see,
why was it given in the first place?
Okay, there's a few things about the law. One was, all right, you remember how we've gone through different times where we've said that which was done, that there was natural examples of a spiritual reality that were given time and time and time again. And so even with, for example, the element of sacrifices that needed to be made, And understanding that, like with all of those, you know, the shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remissions of sin, Hebrews 9. So like that, you know, and there was a natural example given of this, of what would eventually become a spiritual reality in Christ Jesus. So the natural example was given, and people continued to repeat that, because it was like, okay, you know, this is a natural example of something that, you know, it needs to be done, but it's not fulfilling that, because people still had that weight upon them. So the stuff was covered, but it wasn't dealt with. See, the thing that Jesus does is, it doesn't just cover the sin. He, like, makes it new. We have a new life in Him. So it's like washed clean, plus. Then you get a new life in Him. That's why even here, when He talks about, you know, unless a man is born again, so you have this new birth experience. So even there, the person has died in Christ Jesus on the cross. The blood is shed. All of that is taken care of and dealt with in Him, and then you get the new life there. Now, part of the thing about the law, and part of the reason why the law was given, is so that man could, even on a surface reality, understand, you know, that, okay, wait a second, I may not get all these intricacies about God, but I do understand, like, a surface thing, which is, if I've done something that grieved the heart of God, that there is something that needs to be paid for that. You know, even that in and of itself, just that, hey, there's no such thing as a free lunch. There's a consequence for this. There's a payment for this. You know, even that alone is an understanding that people, it's good and it's healthy for people to understand that. So like when people think, oh yeah, you know, I can just do whatever, I can slash and burn through my way through life. No, there's a consequence for it. I mean, the whole LDT thing recently, it all comes full circle. Everything comes back to you. And the thing is every person, here's something you have to understand. On an individual level, on even an atomic, cellular level, you will reap what you sow. Every person does. Everything comes full circle. And so when somebody's like, oh yeah, you know, this one deserved this and this one should get this one, okay, what do you deserve? On an individual level. You know, I mean, there's things that happen to groups of people, but it all comes full circle on individual people. So that's why too, it's like, you know, even with stuff going on in this country, it's like, it's a very sober time for me. Not necessarily, it's not like a time where I'm like, yay, hurrah. I'm like, you know, gosh, I mean, how much suffering this nation has been through and how many people have suffered. And it's like, it's almost a time of just reflection, you know, more than anything. I mean, but anyways, but the thing about, you know, sacrifices and those that were given is those revealed elements of an eternal reality that, and a spiritual reality that we needed to understand. So even like we talked about when we talked about the temple, you know, God gave a natural example of a spiritual reality so that people could, on that level, on a surface level, have some understanding. You know, but then as time would go on, as people would progress, as they would walk with Him, as there would be revelations of Him, all of a sudden be like, whoa, wait a second. You know, I saw something in the heavens, God revealed. And then when they saw something there, they're like, oh, I saw a mirror, saw a copy of this here on the earth, but then I saw the, you know, the real thing. Then I saw something that was a bit more. You know, we talked about last time how with Jesus, you know, the Mount of Transfiguration, how, you know, there was a moment in time where He went up to a higher octave. And for a moment, they saw Him in a glorified state talking with Moses and Elijah. You know, and there's a moment, it's just like, whoa! But it's just a passing moment. So there's those bleed-throughs into that a higher octave of spirit. Now that, in and of itself, that's not even the end-all. You know, there's more that happens with Him. There's more that happens. I mean, but they saw Him in, you know, for just a moment at just a higher frequency. And then they came back into the base reality that we live in on a day-to-day basis. Now, and when Jesus came into this world, he took on our form as well, but he took on deliberately a lower octave, if you would, so that we could have an understanding in this dimension, this reality, of something, of you know, so he could take us from this, so we could see this, so he could take us from this into a higher plane, if we were willing to walk with him on that. Okay. Now, it's a progression that takes place with us. There's a starting point. And the starting point is when a person bows their knee before the king, and they're like, "Lord, okay, it's your bat, your ball, your kingdom come, your will be done. You know, I'm up for your lordship. Anything, 100%. Mark chapter 8. I take up my cross. I follow you. It's all you." That's the starting point. Now, a lot of people don't even get to the starting line in the race. You know, a lot of people don't even get to the starting line in the race that they're called to run with him. They don't even get to that initial point. Because I think, too, sometimes there's been a misrepresentation of the expectation that God has for someone that would follow him. Because, see, here's another thing, too. When you have institutions in place, when you have religious organizations that are in place, they can't afford, if it's a worldly thing, they can't afford for you not to be part of the system, because you can't be controlled, so they don't want you to do that. You know, they don't want you to get on that track. So they will, you know, they'll tell you, take up your cross and follow me, doesn't really mean what it says there. You know, it's means something else. You know, it means, you know, you shouldn't be ashamed to forward an email, or, you know, it's like they'll make it something that it's like it's not. Ultimately, it's his way. Every day, his kingdom come, his will be done. When you pray that prayer, what you're asking for is you're asking for the dominion of the king, completely and totally in and through your life, every day, every moment of every day, and every decision that happens, and everything that you would do, and everything that you would be about, you're seeking his lordship, his direction, his, you're looking for that, and you're opening yourself up for that. And you're asking for, when you ask for this day our daily bread, you're asking for the rhema of God, the spoken word of God into the situation that you're in, into whatever it is that's going on. You're asking for God to give you exactly what you need from his throne, the direction, the word of life that you need right now. You can't go with what you got yesterday. You need something that's pertinent to right now, this day, where you are and what you're about at this moment. So, now, you know, we consistently are building with all of these series that we've been doing. We've talked before about how, you know, this life and what you see, this is the dream world. And the actual reality, the reality of spirit, that's what's real. So, like, even us being, you know, here right now talking like this, this is a very, very low octave, if you would. Like the way that angels communicate, the way that, you know, the spirit communicates with us. You know, I mean, like, okay, for example, you know how people say, a picture says 1,000 words? I mean, like, you can have in just, you know, a couple of minutes, God can show you 50 years of life. I mean, he can just like that, just take you through something so fast. He can show you so much so fast, so quickly, in these, you can't, and this way too, like when Paul said, you know, he had gone to the third heavens and come back, and he's like, things like, he couldn't describe the stuff that he had seen. He couldn't describe because you don't have the words. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, okay, describe a sunset. Tell me what a sunset's like. Okay, it's orange, and really. And he's like, can you describe that? Can you put that into? Can you articulate that into words? Especially for somebody that hasn't had that experience. No, you can't. So it's like that. And the only way that you might be able to even begin to articulate that and begin to have some shared understanding is if somebody else had experienced something similar. So you could relate it to, oh yeah, you feel the warmth of this and the color of this. But you have to find some shared understanding. So that's why too, it gets very frustrating if you want to try to communicate the things of spirit to somebody that has no heart for it. Because if somebody has no heart for it, has no pursuit of that, and their desire is to live in a base reality, to live in the world and in the world system, it's a really frustrating process, and it's actually a real waste of time. Unless the Spirit of God leads you to that, and you shouldn't waste your time there. Because those people don't want to know, and so it's like you're trying to share something, you know, that and it's like, why are you trying to speak French to someone that doesn't want to learn French? You know, so but we are people that are, you know, seeking truth. Jesus said, you know, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And, you know, so He is truth, He is life. We're seeking truth, we're seeking Him. And in that process, that's why when we meet someone else that's on that path, you know, we share what it is that God's doing with us, and we communicate on different levels, but there's subtleties even to our interactions. Just being around somebody in the spirit will have a response. It'll lift your soul. There's something that happens when we're even with each other in the body of Christ, even for a limited period of time. You kind of come in from the storm for a little while, regroup, and then it's like, and then you go back into it because God has us in the world but not of the world. But there is higher octaves that God would have us understand, relate to, be comfortable in. You know, there's levels of relating in spirit that God would have us to feel very, very relaxed and comfortable in. That it's not like something like, you know, like I remember, I guess, kind of back in some of my church days, I guess, whatever you want to call that period of life, you know, how they'd like, you know, they'd make, you know, it's like, oh, okay, now it's like so they've gone through their sequence, and so now it's like, okay, now they're done with their 20 minutes of worship, and they're, you know, two fast songs, and they're three slow songs, and then they're one, you know, kind of happy feely song, and then now they get to the part where it's like, okay, now the time for, you know, somebody to come up with their, you know, their certified prophets, because they've got like three people, four people that they've approved of that are, you know, all play ball with the system, and then one of them shows up and it's time for that person to, you know, give the word, you know, it's like, and they see a picture of a windmill or something like that, and they're like, you know, and, you know, this windmill now, so it just means, you know, that God wants you to, you know, really catch the wind of His Spirit, and that kind of thing, right? And then everybody's like, oh, okay, so that's the approved of people. No. God intends for each and every person that walks with Him to become very comfortable even in relating with Him in higher octaves of spirit, and just where He would show you things, where He'd reveal things to you, where you will be in a situation, He will expose hearts, motives, minds, intentions. There will be bleed-throughs between this world and the world of spirit, the realm of spirit, which is real. And when those things happen, it's not like, oh my gosh, did you see? But it's like, no, it's just like you just saw, you know? And it's like, and for a moment of time, you just saw. And you know, actually, in some ways, there's I think sometimes I'm glad that that's not on 24/7. You know, I mean, like if you could see 24/7, you know, all of the swirling around us of the angelic wars that's taking place, of the demons that are fighting and the angels and the, all of this is taking place. You know, there's a lot going on in the realm of spirit. There's a lot happening at any given time. And so, you know, there is an element of like, I mean, God wants us to engage in that. Yes, He wants us to understand. He wants us to be strong. He wants us to war in the realm of spirit. He wants us to understand what's happening there. But also, it's like He doesn't want, it's not a spooky thing. You know, it's not some creepy thing that like that there's this little corner of people over here. Let's just call them when, you know, we feel like there's something haunting my house. You know, I mean, this is, so, okay, here, I'll give you an example. Let's go 2 Kings. 2 Kings. I'm going to give you an example of a bleed through. Da, da, da. 2 Kings chapter 6. And verse 8 says, "Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek. And he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass when they were come to Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? And he answered, thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master. And he prepared great provision for them, and when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the band of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. Okay. Really, really cool. And now, just a couple things. One, one person walking with the Spirit of God, and the look at the result of just that person's life in just this short section. How many people would have died in that situation, either of the Israelites or the Assyrians, of all of those things? I mean, how many people were spared from fighting a needless cause, a needless thing? Now, when he was in that, in this place, now here you got the king on one side who's like, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. And nothing's hidden from God. So in that situation, God is revealing to Elisha. Elisha makes it known to the king of Israel. And then the king of Israel is able to, you know, adjust what he's doing. And when, you know, this guy, of course, you know, now in this day and age right now, how many people, even in this country, how many people are trying to keep things hidden? You know, there, now there's nothing hidden when it comes to God. He can make anything known completely, 100%, everything. It's laid open, laid bare. And in actuality too, for all eternity, everything that people have ever done will be 100% absolutely known. Nothing's hidden. Not a thing. It's all recorded, it's all written down. HDTV, full screen projection, right there for all creation to watch. And you get to watch the replay of your life. Yeah, that's a spooky thought, isn't it? So, that's why. Oh yeah, would people live differently if that was the case? You know, when you realize that, hey, everybody's going to watch the replay of my life. And everything I've ever done, and all of it is going to be there, laid bare before all the world to see. Including everybody that I've ever hurt, every person that they're going to sit there right next to me and watch this video. Yeah, we need the blood of Jesus. You need that forgiveness. You need that. But so basically, in a situation,
I think it's going to help against the mob.
Well, you know, the thing is that everyone is guilty. Yeah, everyone is. And then when we get a realization too that, look, left to ourselves, we are completely undone. And left unto ourselves, that there is no hope for us. And that we need absolutely, thank you so much, Lord Jesus, that you've saved me, that you've forgiven me, and that the life I live now is not, that old person is gone. It's the new life in Christ Jesus. But you're not fooling anyone. You know, so it's all there. So it's like, it's not a thing to be played with. You know, it's something to be taken seriously. But you know, the problem, I mean, when people lose sight of that, and the world works very hard to make you lose sight of that, they get caught up in this illusion that life is this right here, base reality, and that there is, and think about it, how many people, the way they live their life like, one, there's no consequence, two, that they're going to go on here indefinitely, and that they're not going to die, and that they're not going to have to face God. I mean, but even there, the reality of it is just plain to see how everybody dies. I mean, it's like, you in this country, the minister of justice and law reform died over what, the weekend?
After this, 2 hours after this morning. And there was another person.
I mean, does anybody see the implications of something like that? The minister of law and or justice and law reform in this country dying, like right like that? It's like, okay. So there's a deeper reason for that. doesn't quite mean anyways. We'll get into that one right now. But yeah. Justice is dead. Anyways, no, it's very much alive in the realm of spirit. But you know, that's another thing too. People are expendable. We make ourselves out to be all this so important and all my life. No, you know, actually, you are part of this thing, and we have a role to play. And God redeemed us, and He paid the highest price for us. Yes, yes, He did. But also, we are just a part of this whole thing. And the best thing that you can do is play the role that God has for you. but also realize that too, it's like God's will be done. It will be done with or without us. I mean, he's going to fulfill what he wants to do. And we can either be on his side, on the side of light and truth, or we can be, you know, on the side of the world and, you know, have what comes with that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
But what he wants to do?
Well, you know, all right. The situation going back to... okay. Some of the things that he wants to do is... There is a mystery in this whole thing, and this is something that I'm beginning to understand a little bit more about as time goes on. I mean, like, you think about it, like, this world that we live in, I mean, it's not a happy place. You know, it's not a happy place for, I mean, just the bulk of humanity is, I mean, this nation alone, how many people are suffering right now? In tremendous ways. So, but there's a bigger thing going on. In some ways, it's almost like a big grand play that's happening on this stage. I mean, one thing that I realized too is like, okay, the fact that this isn't real. You know, this life is not real. I mean, like, when we get done with this life, that so. If you approach it from the vantage point that, wait, you know, this is an elaborate production and we have a role to play in this big thing, but you need to be activated by the Spirit of God, and the only way that happens is if you're in Him in the first place. You have to be connected to, like, the you know, air conditioner. You got to be plugged into the socket to be able to have the power to be able to do what you were made to do in the first place. Likewise, we have to be plugged into Him to even begin to start. Otherwise, you're just sitting there dormant and dead for 50 years and then you just get disposed of. So, ultimately, this play, some things about it, one is it's revealing God's love. Through all of this pain, suffering, strife, all of this, it's also a revelation of the love of God. There are things that are happening through, it's revealing some things for us. One thing too, we need to know for a season of time what it's like when we're left unto our own devices and separate from Him. Because for all eternity you won't ever have to experience that again. But for a season of time, we know what we would do to ourselves apart from Him. And then you're so grateful that you don't ever have to be apart from Him ever again. It's a good thing. You know, it's a good thing when we know, well, wait a second, this is, you know, this is, I don't have to be apart from Him ever again. And I know all of the pain and the damage that I do to myself when I am away from Him. Okay, I don't, thank you, Jesus. You know, thank you so much that I don't have to live an eternity away from you. See, that's the thing too, when people start talking about like hell, every person that is there are people that have chosen that reality for themselves. People make the choice where they want to go. People's choices are honored. If you want God, you'll have God. If you want the world, you'll have the world. You get for all eternity what it is your choice is. Now, you can experience more of the reality that He has for you if you choose to walk this out His way. But again, it's His way, His bat, His ball. So, like, even back to the story with Elijah here, in this situation, these guys are functioning on a very base level. Okay, we're going to go fight, we're going to go war, we're going to do this, we're going to take this guy's land, we're going to take this. And Elijah's operating from a whole nother octave. And in this situation, now these guys are like, okay, let's go catch him. And then let's go kill him. And then in that situation there too, when they're coming, now God takes care of His own. You know, God will always take care of His own. That's why too, for me, it's like, I've realized and I've seen His hand on my life enough times to realize that this Elijah's situation and my situation, it's, you know, put, you know, if scriptures talk about Elijah being a man just like us, you know, he prayed, the rain was shut off from the land for those years. Yeah, Elijah, John the Baptist, you name it, these guys were just, they were people like us. Esther is a woman like you. I mean, it's like these are people that the factor of their life that distinguished them was they were people that surrendered themselves to the will and the plan of God. They sought His way, they sought His plan, they sought His purpose, they asked for His kingdom in whatever way, shape, or form, and whatever that meant to them, they abandoned themselves completely to that. And they said, Lord, Your will be done, no matter what it was. I was reading even earlier today how, you know, when Elijah came and God told him, you know, I want you to, three guys, Jehu, Hazael, and Elisha, I think that's right. But basically, you know, one guy king of this place, one guy king of this place, and Elisha. And you know, I want you to go anoint these three. And when he came up to Elisha, and he tossed his cloak around him, tossed his mantle around him, Elisha was just like, and he was plowing. He's in the middle of plowing and the whole thing. And he's just like, whoa, just give me half a second. And he went back, you know, killed the oxen that he was plowing with, started a fire with the plow, roasted, gave something to everybody to eat, and then went and followed him. So just like, I mean, he cut off, you know, that's point of no return right there. He cut off the thing that was the source of his provision of what he was doing before, created a, you know, no resale value on the plow now. I mean, all of that's done, and he just reckless abandon to whatever it was that God was doing with him at the time. Because he knew. So he went after what it was that God was doing. And then here you go a little bit further into it, and like, whoa, there's Elisha. Look at what he's doing now. And so even in this situation, when the king of Syria is coming after him, and it's like, okay, you know, the word of God and what God has you doing has now put you in a spot, has now put you in a situation. Oh, okay, in the natural, that may be the case. But then when this guy here, when his servant is coming back to him, like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And all he asks is, Lord, just let him see. Yeah. Let him see a bleed through between the surface reality that he's in right now and what's really going on in another dimension of spirit. And then when he just for a moment is like, okay, he's able to see into the dimension of spirit, whoa, wait a second, you know, we got the bigger army. And that's always the case. I travel with an entourage much larger than the president's. No, and I don't have to feed them all rice packets either. No, I mean, it's like we live with the protection of God. We live with that sustaining of God. We live by the grace of God. He takes care of us. You know, occasionally God will allow you to see His hand, His protection on your life. And you see it, you understand. So it's like, I can go to the beach, I don't have to worry. You know, it's like, I live a different way. We live a different way. We live as a free people. So, but there was something going on that was not on a base carnal level here. And so in this situation here, you know, these guys show up, they want to kill him. Now, think about it too. If Elisha wanted to, okay, now take some, hands him over to the king of Israel, and if he said, okay, I want payback, these guys came to kill me, you know, okay, eye for eye, you know, let's... And no, he's just like, look, you know, diffuses the situation. When somebody else wants to take these guys' blood, he says, nope, you know, I've caught Prabhakaran now, nope, you know, give him something to drink, give him something to eat, send him on his way. You have the power in your hand to hurt somebody, and you don't use it. I mean, we live a different way. See, the thing about you reap what you sow. You always do. And so when people live a way where they destroy and they rob, steal, kill, and destroy, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. It's just there. It's in the Word. I didn't write it. That's just, I didn't write it. It's right there. So you live by the sword, you die by the sword. That's what Jesus said. So the end product of that is, and again, something that we're probably going to end up seeing more and more even here, is those that continue to live by the sword will die by the sword. It's sad, you know. I don't like seeing people suffer. I don't like seeing people die. But people make choice. People make decision. And the consequences of those choices always come back to them. So Elisha, in this situation, you know, absolute servant of God, beautiful example of, you know, times where God is using him and also creating opportunity. You notice how too Elijah has the ear of the king, you know, and then Elisha has it's like God will create that opportunity for his people, and he will create the opportunity for you to be in position where those that need to hear a word from him, he'll give that to you. And we don't apologize for that. And we don't hold that back either. See, that's something too, is you can be awed by people's position in the world, because it means nothing. God is no respecter of persons. He's no respecter of any person. What he looks for is he looks to the heart. He looks to the core of who people are. You would be very surprised if you could see, I shouldn't say you'd be very surprised, but you'd be very interesting for you. I should put it like that. It would be very interesting for you if you could actually see the true nature of who everybody is that's around you. Of what they are in spirit as compared to what they are, what they appear to be in the world of flesh. See, in the world of flesh, you have a lot of celebrities that are just piecemeal together, that are just like plastic and tape. But if you could see them in the world of spirit, they're atrocious. They're absolutely disgusting in the spirit. But, you know, that's what their spirit being is, but you only see the outside of the car, which is, you know, kind of polished and varnished. But inside, there's whereas, you know, you may have somebody, you do have a lot of people, that then, you know, outside maybe they're, you know, not that much to look at, but within, in the realm of spirit, they're just beautiful. Because that's who they are. And they've been renewed and they're being made new and they're also growing in the grace of God. So it's like, there is another dimension happening here. And so that's why too, you know, it's not to say that everybody that's, you know, beautiful is ugly and everybody that's ugly is beautiful. No, you have ugly people that are ugly both ways. You have beautiful people that are beautiful both ways. You have all mix of this stuff in there. But look deeper. Look to what's really going on. Look to the heart of where somebody's coming from. You know, when you interact with somebody, let the Spirit of God take you just a little bit deeper when you're even speaking with them. He'll show you. He'll show you their heart. He'll show you their motives and their intentions. He'll show you where they're really coming from. I mean, he'll reveal them very quickly to you. I actually, as I continue to like live, you know, here, it gets more and more exciting for me to interact with people, because it's like, now it's like very fast, like that. It's just like 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. It's like you start knowing where people are coming from, what they're about, what their motives and their intentions are, what their fears are. You know, do they know the Father? That you can tell very fast. And then, do they know him? Do they know him on a surface level? Or is it something that's deep and within? Like, I've been reading this book a friend sent to me from the States. And it's about this, it's basically a power cult that's formed around the name of Jesus. Yeah, they use his name as a trading chip. But basically, it's about garnering worldly power and access to political leaders. And they use Jesus as a means of like getting this inroads. And incidentally, if you don't have some connection to power, you're not part of the club. So it's not a come one, come all, nothing like that. But these people are, and I've met them too, these people are very, very, I mean, they're just, it's this pluralistic, you know, he is whatever it is you want him to be, and it's very surface if you talk about anything with these guys. You know, they want to get on to making a business deal, or they want to get on to, you know, it's like, God, please bless me, my life, my wife, my dog, and my car. No, God, see, okay, Luke 17, verse 20, we've talked about this one before. Okay. Luke 17. Verse 20 says, And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, Jesus, when he set up the kingdom, what he set up was a spiritual kingdom that's within the heart of everyone that knows him, that walks with him. So your body becomes the temple of the Spirit of God. He lives within you by his choice and by your willful acceptance of it. And that kingdom grows within. And the clapping started. That kingdom grows within. Let's see here. So with the kingdom of God and how he establishes it inside of even our hearts and who we are, if the kingdom is within, what would the focus of the devil be? If you were a good bad devil, what would your focus be if you understood that, hey, the kingdom is within? What would you try to do with every person?
Destroy the person.
Destroy the person?
In terms of...
And where would you try to keep them? If the kingdom is within, where would you want to keep them?
In the world.
Without, yeah. You would do everything you could to keep that person from going within. So if the kingdom is within, and sense, I shouldn't say if the kingdom, sense the kingdom is within, and you, if you were the spirit of Antichrist, if you were a demonic spirit, if you were anything part of that militaristic hierarchy of the enemy's kingdom, your focus would be for those that, you know, you couldn't harvest into your system, to keep them from going within. Because if they go within, they go to a place of incredible... They go into a place of incredible power and connection. So you would try to keep them without. So you want to keep, it's like keeping a joint dislocated. You know, if you can keep that joint dislocated, they can't ever use that arm. So likewise, there's a focus that they have there, which is, you know, keep that person from ever getting there. Now, how can they do that? Well, one way is to keep you occupied and focused and set in a very surface reality. What's going on with my family? What's happening on my job? What will I wear today? What will I eat? What will I drink? Where will you know? What kind of? Oh, somebody hit my car. Oh, you know. I mean, whatever can happen to keep you from going within. Yeah, I'll show you this one. Let's go to. I'm thinking. I forgot to write that one down. Okay. I think it's maybe Luke 8. Yeah. Luke chapter 8. And yeah, okay, Luke chapter 8, verse 4. And when much people were gathered together, and were come out to him of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed, and some fell by the wayside, and was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it, and some fell upon a rock, and it had, as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it, and choked it. And others fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit, an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing that they might not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. But those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But they that are on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Okay. So the seed is the word, Jesus Christ is the word. Because he's also the word that came, that he's the word that became flesh. So he taking root in a, if you take away Jesus, you don't have it to start with. You have to have him. But now what happens too is that with those that the one that fell on the thorns, the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of this life choke it, make it unfruitful. What happens? People are caught up into a surface reality. They're caught up into this life and all that's going on that surface, and they never go deep with him. And then the byproduct of that is that which God intended, the life that he intended to bring forth in them, it doesn't happen. So when you go to John 15, John chapter 15, we said, I am the vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit is taken away, and every branch that beareth fruit he purgeth, that it might bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide in me, he is cast. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch that is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Okay. So again, Jesus speaking about the bearing of fruit, it happens by abiding in him. His word remains in us, we remain in him. That word is the rhema that also comes from God. He's the Logos, and he gives us the rhema for this day. We live inside of him, which is the Logos. We receive from him the rhema that we have for this day. We walk in that. You live in that. You in him. You live and move and have your being. And as you live in that state of connection, as you live in this state of spiritual, just it's a spiritual reality that you live in, that which is God is doing is being brought out in you. But if you allow, and so there's a willful decision that we make to not allow ourselves to be drawn out of that. Now, see, here's the struggle that we'll have. You're in the world, but you're not of it. And you are in this place, and so the world is going to constantly be tugging at you, constantly be trying to bring you out of that place, which is why you and I have to make that willful decision to not allow ourselves to be pulled out of that. We have to do our part in that relationship and in that connection and in the priorities that we have in our own life of, Lord, you know, what is it that you need from me to put myself in that place? Now, yeah, I have a hard time keeping a schedule as such, you know, or something like that. I can do some things in a certain way, but it's like, it's not about ritual. You know, it's not about like, okay, here is my exact, you know, from 6 to 7, 10, I will be reading the Bible. No, it's, you know, you might do that for a season and then you may completely, you know, do something different. I don't know. Let Him show you. I know I've had seasons in my own life where I've had times where I've had plenty of time to study. And then other times where things are going so fast where it's like, I don't get much time at all. I'm really, you know, just trying to keep up. It's okay. You have seasons and transitions. Even in any army, you have times when you're marching, you have times when you're resting, you have times when you're in the battle. All of that stuff's there. I mean, Jesus, sometimes He just have to go out on the mountain to pray. You know, 4 a.m., get up, go. It's okay. There's times when you have to do that. There's other times it's like, hey, I've got the whole weekend by myself, whatever. You know, great, fantastic. Work with whatever it is that you got. But the realization is that, okay, I think next week we have to move. But the realization here is that you don't, the world will try to draw you out of that. The world will try to get you wrapped up into its own drama. So, for example, you will, and people will try to get you wrapped up into their own drama. They'll work very hard to do that. Have you ever seen somebody that just says something just to try to affect you? Just for the sake of affecting you. And like Jesus said, forgive them, Father, because they don't know what they do. I mean, it's true. They don't know what they do. Because when people are plugged into the world system, they're plugged into like this, they've got like something stuck in the back of their head that they're just kind of take orders from that system. And so they just kind of play their role of, you know, oh, there's a real one, attack them. There's a real one, attack them. So you go from one place and then you get attacked here and you go somewhere else and you get attacked there because you're not part of the system. So they will come at you whenever they see you somewhere. They will do that. Part of it is to draw you from going within. So, and people will say something just to affect you. Because why? Can I get you, their thing is, can I get you onto a surface reality? Can I get you back up from going deep within? So when you walk outside and you look up and you see the beautiful stars in the sky, or you see something and you're just like, oh my gosh, thank you, Lord. And then they come up and they say, gosh, that's an ugly dress. You know, oops, let me get you away from that place where you were just enjoying the presence of God, and let me get you now stuck into something that's surface and doesn't mean anything at all. You know. You see what I'm saying? So now understand that's a strategy. You know, it's really not personal. It's just they're just carrying out their program. They're just doing what it is that they're.
Why is the whole system allowed to exist? If this whole thing, everything we have been talking about, like rise up, type the Mitchell, was a whole battle of, how everything is so intricately formed to keep us away from seeking Him. But that system alone, demon, devil, whatever you call it, why was even that Him, it allowed to exist and to perform that way?
Just imagine if it was that easy.
But it was, if God Himself is the master for everything.
Yeah.
If He doesn't want that to exist, it would not be there.
Exactly. He wants it to exist.
But why does He want to exist?
He does. Okay, first of all, the first part, and this is again where it would just petrify the church to even, like, the organized church to even begin to broach this idea. You know, and so they'll usually try to cover it up and they won't. God wants this world that it is right now to be here like this for a season and for a reason. Now, one thing I've thought about this one a little bit. I've got some friends that, you know, have talked about some of this stuff too, and we've had some ideas out there. But one thing I definitely see is everything in all this world system is coming against you from the moment that you decide to walk with Him. So if you say, all right, I choose, right now, Lord, Your kingdom come, Your will be done, let me bow my knee before You and I will walk with You no matter what. No matter what now comes exactly your way. Everything in the system that's there will come at you. And if it can oppress you, if it can break you, if it can seduce you, if it can, whatever it is, anything necessary to keep you from going that way. And ultimately what ends up happening is, if you really want that, you will go through each and every one of those things. You will have come through. Jesus, look at the temptations He was offered in Luke chapter 4. I mean, it's like He's offered in every vantage point. He's tempted and tested and yet without fault. We get the same thing. And here's the thing. If you live in Him, if in Him you live and move and have your being, you will be tested as well, but yet without fault. You will be tested as well. I should, yeah, you might screw up and stumble, but He will take you through that. He'll dust you off, He'll get you up on your feet again, and you will keep walking. You keep going on that path with Him. Why? Because you want, in the end, what you want more than anything is what He offers, which is Him. You want Him. You don't want this world. You don't want what this world has. You want Him. Whatever your lot in life is, after you have Him, it is what it is. Doesn't matter. He allows this stuff to exist because what it does is it tests that decision and that choice that you've made. Are you serious? Do you really want this? Do you really want this? That's why I said, if you're gonna follow me, you go back and read Mark chapter 8, verse 35 on. If you're gonna follow me, you cannot be one of my disciples unless you take up your cross and follow me. You cannot. It's a spiritual impossibility for you to walk after Jesus without having done that. You can look like it, you can fake it, you can go to the Amen corner and you can say, Amen, brother, but you, unless you have in the level of spirit taken up your cross, you and followed Him and you've given your life over to Him completely, you can't. You can't do it.
So our life is just an exam, a real big test from the time you're born to the day you die. I mean, physically, is just one big test as to whether you pass it to meet your Father.
Yeah, it is.
The whole system is just an intricated, you know, like a test drive thing that you have to go through the course.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Well, it is a test, yes. But you know, here's more of what I've seen is, the first thing is that decision that you make. Will you receive Him? Or will you go the way of the world? For me, that decision, for myself, that decision, I remember kind of almost very clearly that point of choice. Several times in my life, you know, being at that crossroad, but one time specifically when I was probably about like maybe 19, where I was just like, I mean, it was right there. And it was basically, and it was like God even spoke to me, even in that time. He said, look, He's like, you know my way, and you know the way of the world. And He said, what I want you to do is choose. He says, make a choice and go with it. and I'm so glad I went his way and not the other way, because I know enough people that at the same time, you know, that I made that choice to go that, and I see where they are and their lives are today. I'm just like, oh gosh, I would not trade with any of them, even those that might have had success in the world. It's like they're empty. And for me, it's just like the life that I have. I'm in the abundant life right now. May not look like it to somebody that doesn't understand, that doesn't understand the intangibles that come from being able to go to sleep at night with peace, and, you know, to have a complete and a fulfillment that comes that only Christ can give. You know, those are things that God gives and offers. You cannot find them anywhere else. You cannot buy them. You cannot broker them. They only come from Him. And but the first thing is that choice and that decision that you make. And from that choice, what life is then walking that out. If you make the choice for the world, then that choice, from that point on, what that is walking that out in the world. All right, now go be a good slave in the world system. Basically what that means is, now if you're going to do that, you go get into the hierarchy of the world system and you work your way up and you try to enslave as many other people as you can, game as many other people as you can, and then you work your way up and you basically try to get as high on the pyramid as you possibly can, and you try to control as many people as you can below you, and so you work your way up in that structure. Now ultimately at the top of their pyramid is Lucifer, so, you know, I mean that's ultimately what they're all bowing to. But for us, you know, we bow before the King of Kings. And yeah, there's struggles. Yeah, there's pain. Yeah, there's those things. But you know, for me even too, I'm learning to relate to it differently. Because there is the scriptures that talk about, like, consider it pure joy when you face trials. You know, those scriptures make more sense to me now. Before they didn't. You know, now as I keep walking with them, something like that makes more sense to me. Because why? Well, one thing that I've seen that happens is when I go through something difficult, if I hold on to Him through that process, if I don't try to get away, if I don't try to, you know, turn my back, if I just hold on to Him and pour out my heart before Him in that situation, if I just am real and honest before God and allow the work of the Spirit of God in me and through me in that trial, when I come to the other side of it, when I've come through that, there's a blessing that's in it, there's a growth that's in it, there's an intimacy with God that I have as a result of that. It comes to the point where it's like the devil's thinking twice about sending a trial my way, because he knows that if he sends something at me, I'm going to be better as I come through that, because I figured out one thing, which is, hey, hold on to God when I go through that. So now this devil's now second guessing sending something at me, because he's like, crap, if I send something at him, it's going to make him stronger, so do I send that at him now? Or I actually am starting to think the devil's starting to rethink his strategy regarding me, because I figured out this. See, this is part of my own growth. I figured out something in my walk with the Father, which is, hey, when something tough is coming my way, I just thank God. And I just say, Lord, let's just go through this. Help me. Just strengthen me in this. This is what I'm going through right now. But it's cool because you're with me. And as long as I'm walking with you, I'll go through whatever it is you just show me. And then when I'm praising God in the middle of that, I'm thanking Him. That's what those guys understood in Acts chapter 15. Acts 15, Acts 16, when they're getting tossed in the dungeon. They had figured it out at that point. They had figured out, consider it pure joy when you face trials of all kinds. They've figured out what that meant. So they've learned that. Now when you've learned that, when you've stepped into that, now it's cool, because it's like, this is not, this will really be that Romans 8:28, where all things work together for the good of those that are called according to the purposes of God. It's like, that love God, that are called according to His purpose. It does do that. So when again, what happens? You've gone from the surface reality, oh, woe is me, I'm in a troubled spot now. You've gone from that to a deeper dimension of spirit, because you've shifted in to that connection with Him, where it doesn't matter what your external circumstances are, you will, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him, right? You're in that place of like, alright, no matter what's going on externally, I am going to trust God in this. And in that place, all of a sudden now, the way even you relate to the external reality becomes different. It becomes different because you're connecting even with your current situation from another place, from a dimension of spirit. So, and that's when, too, it just fries the enemy's brain because it's like, oh crap, this guy's figured this one out, this girl's figured this one out, now what? Because see, most people will, they'll quickly, when something difficult comes their way, they will say, oh, okay, they'll go back into a carnal way. So all the devil's got to do is, something's got to come their way, get them into that surface reality, and now they're, okay, you know, I'll go back on Sunday. No, if you can shift, don't get out, go through. And thank God when you're in that trouble. So, gosh, there's so much to go through with this one, but time goes quickly. So, but God did create all of this for a reason, for a purpose, and we have there. If you can, all right, if you can, and if you do, on your side, if you willfully bow your knee before the King of Kings, if you will, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done, and you will go through life seeking Him, His direction, His plan, His purpose, open to all that He has for you, no matter what that means, no matter what that would cost, anything. When you come through this life and you get to the other side of it and you've walked out the life that the way that God has for you and you go into eternity, you will thank Him. You'll be very, very grateful. If you could see your life, see, that's the thing too, if we could see our lives from that vantage point, after the race is done, you would thank Him for where you are right now if you're walking with Him and all that's going on with you and around you. So, we need to allow Him to show us our lives from a different perspective, because when you see it from a different perspective, the way then that you relate to this one will be very different. So, time is up for today, so we will stop there for this night.